Yes, Father, we come in Jesus' name trusting that you'll do that very thing. And we give you the praise forever. Amen. I'm going to read in connection with that, and the thought of that, a portion that no doubt I've gone over a number of times with people, some of you, and yet you can never let it grow old. It don't grow old to me. Many of you have yet to realize the heart and the meaning of this particular text. The third chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I realize that oftentimes we may be guilty of trying to feed meat to some of God's precious people when milk should be the diet. You remember the Apostle Paul in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, I couldn't feed you with meat, but with milk. And then he told why. He said, for hitherto, or before this time, you were not able to bear it. He said, neither yet now are ye able. For he said, whereas there is strife and division among you, one says, I'm a Baptist. One says, I'm a Presbyterian. One says, I'm a Nazarene. One says, I'm an Assembly of God. Now you say, well, Brother Hill, it don't say that. Well, you better read what it says. Because what he said is exactly descriptive of what I've said. And the division and the strife that's among God's precious people. People associate themselves with a religious organization, and then I believe what that religious organization believes. And for that reason, they don't go with God. And so we would take someone to the heights, but they have yet to discover their wings. And we would give them a vision when they really have no sight. And we would take them into Gethsemane and to Calvary when in reality they don't have a revelation or a conviction of what this should mean to life. Now, if you go to these heights and these things, you need something to hold you steady. You could easier climb a mountain twice as high as the great Everest without any natural means. Just go out in a bathing suit and climb it. You could do it easier than you could reach to God's best in the strength of man. You could easier tie a couple of anvils to your arms and swim the Pacific Ocean. You say that's impossible. Yeah, that is. But if you're going to come to related abilities, you could easier do that. And so, we come this morning. There are some things man simply cannot do. And yet this is exactly what the Lord calls upon us to do. Abraham was called upon to have a child when he was too old, and Sarah, who never could have had a child. Moses was told to go and deliver Israel from the very tyrants from whom he had fled. And Israel was told to go in and possess the land where the giants just simply scared one generation of them away from it completely. David was told to go out and kill the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, with a little slingshot. And so we could go through the Bible and find the record where men and women of like passions as we accomplished the impossible. Men and women, boys and girls, just like everybody that's here today. Well, but if we would approach the most impossible goal ever put before man in the church age, we would have to come to the plan God has for men and women of this time. And Paul has written a letter to the Ephesians here from which we take our text, and he describes that plan in a digest form. I'll just call your attention to just a few of the statements that he makes that leads up to this doxology that I've read as a text. Verse 1 of the second chapter said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Impossible, isn't it? All of the psychologists, all of the psychiatrists, all of the church joining and religious doing, all of scientific research couldn't take away one little beginning of sin and trespass. No way that you could ever remove that between you and God. But here, "You hath he quickened." Am I reading to you? You suppose this belongs to you? Yes, I'm sure it does. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Of course, he follows that up in the 8th verse of this second chapter by saying, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." He said it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that just puts me right in the right place. Because I couldn't work. I never did try. And I didn't have any faith. But thank God it's the gift of God. He give it to anybody that wants it. Sure. And then, in the 6th verse of this chapter, it says, "quickened together with Christ." In other words, you were quickened just the same as his precious son. Raised up together and seated together. He's not an iota above us as to God and what he has done. 1:3, "He hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ." So often, and it isn't a bad thing to say to one another, "God bless you." Well, it's simply a recognition of what he has already done. He has already blessed every one of you in Christ, with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. You may be as poor as the proverbial church mouse, but if you could just get your spiritual eyes open, you would realize you potentially are a Holy Ghost millionaire. 1:4, "chosen in him before the foundation of the world." 1:6, "accepted in or as the beloved." God accepts the vilest lowest, most outbroken sinner who comes in Jesus' name with all the welcome that he accepts his son. Isn't that a marvel? 1:6, this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. 1:7, according to the riches of the glory of his grace. 3:16, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Not just visit once in a while, but dwell. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to understand with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. And to know, not just hear about, not just read about, but know. How do you know? You do it yourself. But know the love of God which passeth knowledge. 19, be filled with all the fullness of God. Would you say that was an Everest that goes on and on and on and on and on and on? This height is that which we know when we know the love of God. Its breadth, its depth, its length. What amazing phraseology. What description. You'll never embrace it unless he enables you to. Now, relatively speaking, it would be easy to do what Abraham did. What Moses did, what David did, what Israel did, and we could go on and on. Here, in this that we're talking about, a sinner is taken from the dunghill and is lifted up, is translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of God's dear Son, and under the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that life is transformed into the very likeness of Christ himself. I say it was easy. And God reminded Abraham, he said, is anything hard for me? What's easy for me? I made your body in the first place. It's easy for me to make you and Sarah young again. David, it's easy for me to enable you to throw that stone accurately and with such force that it not only would sink in that fellow's head, it'd knock his head off if I wanted it to. It's easy, Moses. Why, the nations are as but a dust in the balance before me. What's this little upstart Pharaoh? Now, precious heart. This, and nothing's hard. Now remember, nothing's hard. But this that we're talking about is not just the performing of an act. This is transformation of lives. God could just use his power to quicken Abraham into youth. But here, he puts the life of his son in the project. Now you think about that. Think of what God had to do to make possible what I'm reading about here this morning. Well, sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, it overwhelms me. And every believer in this church age can have this happen. Again, I remind you, you may be poor. Society may frown on you. You may not have had any education. Life may, in your opinion, have thrown you a foul ball. But when God stepped out to you, He stepped out in all the unspeakable and glorious fullness of Himself. And He said, if you just let me do it, I'll make you just like my Son. Now, you don't believe that, do you? I know you don't. I know you don't. Oh, you kind of got a hack hooked up here in your head. Now, I trust God every one of you believe it. So, tell me where you can find a proposition like this. Here we are offered eternal and unsearchable riches. Here we are offered everlasting glory, such as the world can't touch. I don't care if you were the greatest in any field, and all the fields put together, it wouldn't be a drop in the ocean compared to this. Now, you just can't be a champion. I don't imagine anyone here is a champion really of anything unless it's failure. But precious heart, you can be the champion of everything in the eternities to come. Paul had attained to most of what man grasps for today. And yet he threw it aside as refuse that he might come to the place that we're talking about, win Christ. Oh, the unspeakable of this. How overwhelming, how deep. The mind of man at its best faints in unbelief. There's only one way. I'll tell you, I don't care how brilliant. You might have a 7,000 IQ. I don't know whether that could be or not. But if you did, it would just leave you a dummy as to this. God has to open your heart. And you have to want Him to open your heart. There are eyes in the heart. For most of God's precious people that remain closed. They're like little puppies. They never get their eyes open. Paul prayed in the beginning of this letter that God would open your eyes to see this. And so God forbid that you and I be one of the kind that don't get our eyes open. But is it an idle dream? Really, really, is this just an idle dream? Is Brother Hill up here just telling us something that a fanatic wrote years ago, a dreamer? As you remember when Joseph went out, they said, let's get rid of that dreamer. You know, there's a lot of Christians that would get rid of this dreamer. I'm talking about Christians. See? Never was beauty of earth, sea, sky able to compare with what we're talking about. All else compared with this, if you could have it all, is like ashes or hot sand in the mouth of a man dying of thirst and isolated in the midst of the Sahara Desert. Oh, precious hearts, but will we bask in its warmth this morning as I speak? Can it become a reality to us? Or will we turn back to the weak, the cold, the beggarly things? And that's what you'll go to if this is not the captivating force of your life. Now, God don't care what you have out there. He don't care. He may promote one and put another one down, but don't think you're well off because you live in the house on the hill. You could be the poorest of the poor. Sure, is it possible for us to enter such a fair Canaan as this? Israel didn't think it was possible for them to enter the land of milk and honey, which was only just typical of this. Just a little faint shadow of this. Isn't it wonderful? Is it possible for us to don the splendid robes of the elite of heaven? I'm sure it is. Can such slaves of sin, which God hates, not the sinner, the sin, and the devil as his avowed enemy, can we slaves walk in the eternities with him as his chosen bride? Yes, we can. Well, what magic wand can change our gully filth and dress us as that woman who is glorious without and within? What power can transform us? It is in answer to just such questions that the apostle breaks into the doxology that I have read to you. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. Oh, there is a power working in you, my precious friend. There is a power that got its roots in you when you got saved that can bring you to this place. Here Paul, who himself had been transformed from the chief of sinners, and you note that, tells how it's possible. And dear ones, I declare boldly, people think I take too much territory. They say that I am arrogant and one thing and another. But let me declare boldly, positively, that the poorest child of time can, by the grace of God and the power of God, be changed from glory to glory, even unto the likeness of the Lord himself. Note, now unto him that is able to do. I've told you the facts. I presented the realities. I've told you what's going to stand in the light of eternity. You see, you catch a vision of it. You see its heights, you see its depths, you see its widths, you see its lengths, and you're spellbound. It's awesome. Now, I like that. What if he'd have said, now grab your bootstraps and hang on. You're getting on the most bucking horse that there is. No, he said, just sit down in this sweet, wonderful rocking chair and sink into its depths. And know all things work together for good. For it's not to him that worketh or him that runneth, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen. Now, you might not like that because it might disturb your self-righteous rottenness. But if you end up where we're talking about, it's going to be God. Now, you will have to cooperate. And of course, when you wake up and the day is blacker than black and the enemy is howling at your door and the wolves would tear you apart, you say, Lord, this is your problem, not mine. Huh? Well, it is. And if it isn't his problem, it'll never be solved. You'd better recognize that. That's the way it is. Well, now I could preach a week this morning. You say, that's impossible. I'm in the impossible things. You see, I get into this, and this just thrills me from here to here and way yonder. I like to talk about this. I'm going to enjoy this throughout the ages of eternity. I know that by myself, I couldn't think of this, but oh, this is what he said. Now, I believe him. And so, first, allow the ease of this word do to grip your heart as you associate it with him who hath promised. Now, he must remind Abraham, as I said earlier, who he had made promise by saying, Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? Is anything hard for me? Now, come on, Abraham. Jesus once said to the Pharisees of the paralytic, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he turned to the sick of the palsy and said, arise, take up thy couch and go into thy own house. The man said, I can't. Of course he couldn't. But somehow, when Jesus said it, it came to pass. Just like now. Let's not isolate that back yonder centuries ago. Let's say this is the Christ that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's right here this morning. He's the same this morning. You believe that? Now, do you believe it? Now, wait a minute. Don't just say amen. Do you really believe it? Well, to this word do, it's the same as our word poem. Now, if you know anything about poetry, you can't make poetry. It's to make is to manufacture. And poetry is never manufactured. I hear songs that are manufactured. And then I hear some of those old-time songs that flowed out of a heart. Inspired of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Now that song was like an artesian well. That was like Old Faithful. You don't manufacture old faithful. Huh? Jesus, you see, it's like the lily. Jesus said, behold the lily. He said, how? Just look at it. Study. Think about it. Did you ever see such beauty in your life? It didn't spin. It didn't work. It didn't toil. Solomon had the finest weavers, finest of everything that there was in the world. He had everything. But in spite of it all, he couldn't array himself as one of those lilies. The sun didn't try to come up this morning. It came up. And you could have gone in a deep cave, 1,000 feet deep, black as night. But you wouldn't have kept the sun from coming up. That's what this is. I'm not going to take the time, but I've told you of the conduit that was in the mouth of the Mississippi River that the company abandoned because it would be too expensive to raise it. A couple of young men recognized something that could take place. They said, if we raise it, will you give it to us? They said, yes. They got several flat bottom barges. They went down in, and this is a true story, they went down into that river with diving suits, and they put cables, steel cables, under that conduit ever so often. And then at low tide, they brought those cables over those barges and bolted them so they wouldn't give. The tide started coming in. Those barges started to sink, and the cables started to squeak. And all at once, boom! The conduit was up. Those boys saw power that didn't cost them a thing that would do that. Now there is a power unto him that is able to do. That's going to be hard for him. You turn it to him and it won't be hard. But you've got to turn it to him. You can't say, well, now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. Lord, this just couldn't have happened if it had been your will. You fouled all up. I know your word says there are good works which you ordained from before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. I know you said the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. I know you said all things work together for good to them that love you, who are called according to your purpose. But this is a foul up. Jesus said when he washed their feet, he said, you don't know what I'm doing now, but later you will know. Don't try to figure it out before it's time. God knows what he's doing. And you make up your mind to this one thing. He's far, far more interested in doing it for you than you are having it done. You haven't shed any blood yet, have you? I watched that precious man as they jerked the flesh from his body, the beard from his face. They plowed his back. I'm telling you, that cost God. That was his only son. You haven't even resisted the blood yet. You can throw a great big fit over nothing. Isn't that right? Come on now. I'm trying to help you. I'm doing everything I can to get you ready for this time. One day you're going to look back, and it isn't going to be the fat things that you thought were fat that are worth your time. It's going to be those times when you knew what it was to fellowship Gethsemane and Calvary. You knew the fellowship of his sufferings. And Timothy, if you deny him the right, he'll have to deny you the right. Well, that clock says I have 6 minutes. Let's get with it. So, exceeding abundantly. Here Paul coins the word. It's as if the Holy Spirit crowded such a revelation on this man's mind of the reality that would be that again. It was like he wrote, I saw things which are not lawful. In other words, it wasn't possible. This master of Greek and Hebrew, this scholar of scholars, this man who had excelled in every sort of a field, he comes to this, and it's so stupendous, words won't measure it. So he coins a phrase, exceeding abundantly. Oh, I tell you, this is something. This is something. It's like a great river as it breaks through the Grand Canyon. Who can ever measure it? Bring your little vessel. Bring the biggest vessel that you can think about to that river. And fill it until you grow old and weary. The abundance of that river will still be there. Now you come to this. And you dip and you dip and you dip and you dip every morning, day and night. Meditate. Go with him. Yield to him. Seek him. Talk to him. Visit with him. Worship him. And the vastness of it will still be there. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. So God's ability goes beyond our prayers. In faith, be as reckless, as extravagant as you will. He will be beyond it all, and he'll be pleased to have you challenge him. Ask him to forgive. Ask him for mercy. Ask him to show you his grace upon grace. You'll find him rushing to do it, if you mean it. Ask for deliverance. I don't care how the enemy has you hemmed in. Ask him for deliverance. He saw the slaves in Egypt. They cried to him and he said, yeah, sure. Sure. Ask him for peace. How could Paul in that dungeon write the things that he wrote? Forsaken all in Asia. Think, this great church generally had forsaken him. But he had a peace. I have all things. I abound. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Rejoice in the Lord always. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. For you it's safe. Rejoice in him. Rejoice in him. Rejoice in him. Not the circumstance. The circumstance may break your heart. The circumstance may bring tears. The circumstance may be such that you saw that home you put so much effort on just burn to ashes. But rejoice in the Lord. Fire won't reach that. Floods won't reach that. Enemies can't steal that. Lay up where a thief cannot steal. Moth or rust cannot eat away. And moth can't eat. There's a place where moths can't reach. They don't have any moths in heaven. I hadn't thought of it exactly like that. Nothing rusty up there. Well, he said, you have not because you asked not, because you ask amiss. I've asked for a spoonful. I think of myself. I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I've just asked for a spoonful and a full, and the oceans are out there. Sure. I've asked for a sunbeam and the sun just blazes on. Or think. The imagination, oh, it can be so wild for earthly things. Yeah. Like the old woman who lived by the sea. It's bigger, 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 bigger. Somebody's going to go out here and drink, take a drink of something or take some dope, and it's going to satisfy. Don't you know everything of the devil just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper? It gets more impossible and more impossible and more impossible. Show me the alcoholic that ever came up satisfied with what he drank. Huh? Show me the rich man that ever came up satisfied with his last dollar. Show me the person that puts a house or something of that nature ahead of God who ever came up with a house that was fine enough and big enough. Poor old Paul Getty lived in his mansions over the world, and he had one over there in England. And you know what he was? You've gone to a zoo, haven't you? Where they have the monkeys and the lions on the inside of the bars and you go by and look at them. That's the kind of a house he lived in. He had bars. Stayed inside. He was just a poor monkey. And he'd have been better off if he'd have just died a monkey. See that? Or think. May we seek to realize some of the promised splendor, such as the range of His love, His undimmed glory, the pure white holiness. When our imaginations have become weary Our mental powers are bankrupt in our effort to conceive our possible dignities. If, then, how does this ability become ours? According. This is not according to your education or your wealth or the color of your skin or your religious affiliations or who your friends are, the society in which you move. This is according to the power which worketh in us. That's God. Let's pray. On my left, do you need prayer? In this middle section, over here at the right. Father, don't let us get away. In Jesus' name.